Science tells us what's good for the heart is also good for the brain, and that's what led the team behind the best-selling Superbeats Heart Chews to create their new Superbeats Memory and Focus. Research has shown that by promoting blood flow, you can support cardiovascular and cognitive health. Combining clinically studied fermented resveratrol with a patented coffee fruit extract, Superbeats Memory and Focus promotes brain blood flow, supports memory, alertness, and helps to support reduced perceptions of mental fatigue. Superbeats Memory and Focus supports brain health in two ways, by promoting blood flow and supporting healthy levels at BDNF. Healthy levels of BDNF, a key neuroprotein, support overall brain health as we age. Get a free 30-day supply of Superbeats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Superbeats Heart Chews when you shop at danasbeats.com. That's a free 30-day supply of Superbeats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Superbeats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
Something's happening in our society that prevents them from ascending to the highest office in the land. The same is true for African Americans. The same is true for Latinos and the first Americans, Native Americans. The odds are stacked in ways that prevent a lot of young people from realizing their potential.
Well, that's the former president who is weighing in. This is after all the Juneteenth stuff, which we're gonna dive into. And I know it just seems to be purposefully divisive for the sake of being divisive. Welcome to the show, first and foremost. It's good to be back with you guys. I'm Dana Lash. DanaLash.com is the website. And then you can go and find me on Substack. We are the number one show from 12 to 3 Eastern. That is indisputable. So it's good to be with you. I was off last week. I had a little vacation. It was a kind of a staycation because we had some family stuff that was going on, so we weren't able to leave the country and get out of Dodge like we usually do, which was fine because I was really interested in everything that was happening with the big the Biden Putin meeting and all of that, which we're going to also dive into. So whenever this, if you're new to me coming back from vacation, it's like drinking from a fire hose because there's a million things that I see that no other host in radio does. And that's why we're the top radio program from 12 to 3 Eastern, because there's just things that we see because I'm insane. I don't have like a staff that researches every little single thing I do. It's me looking at stuff. And as a former Oppo researcher, I'm able to find things really fast and see trends and et cetera, et cetera. So this is just one of the things. I have a number of stories that we're going to hit. We're going to talk about the Juneteenth stuff. We're going to get into the latest coming from Democrats because they're drumming out their remaining moderates. They don't have any more moderates. They are an endangered species within the Democrat side. We're going to get into all of that. We're also going to talk, I'll give you just like a 30-second elevator pitch on the SCOTUS moves, including the one that came down this morning about the invalidation of a portion of NCAA's amateurism rules. We'll talk about that. We're going to get a whole bunch of stuff. I got wokery, fakery, and a dude who is a female weightlifter for the Olympics.
Not female.
Well, he's a dude. No, I'm not. First off, I will never be lectured to by the patriarchy about my language, because we women, we labored to get the right to vote from Democrats who didn't want us to have it. And I will be double dog damned if I'm going to have my speech policed by the same progressive patriarchy that didn't want me to vote. Just so FYI. So we're going to get into all of that. And so, oh my gosh. And then the last thing, if I can make it through the first hour without hitting it, you guys know that there's like a J.R.R. Tolkien. They have like a Tolkien society, right? It's the wokeification of Middle Earth. I swear to you, I am not making this up. I was reading this and I thought I was getting punked. And so I researched it and lo and behold, I was not getting punked. It's kind of ridiculous. So we're going to talk about all of that and so much more. You don't want to miss a single bit of the show. Now, as I said, it's good to be back with you. DanaLash.com, where you can go and add the website's changing. So you can go and also access my newsletter, Substack, which we've got. There's just a lot. We got a lot happening. A lot happening. And we're also saying a big hi to all of our awesome new, we got some new family members today. I don't know if you guys were aware of that, but we have some new family members, and we're welcoming a bunch of new affiliates, KXNT and KNSS and KMBZ and WSKY and WRVA and WYRD, WPHT, KFTK, WBEN, WTIC, KJCE. I will remember all of those like I have B verbs memorized. Some of you did not believe that I was doing that without a list, and I'm like, no, that was because I had a crazy English teacher. So we're welcoming all of those stations with our new family members over at Odyssey. And today's the big day when we're adding all of those. And we're glad that you're joining us. Now, really quick before we jump in anything, two things that I'm going to accomplish today since I've been on vacation. And I know you've missed me. And it's like, you know, you've been without. And I understand that because we miss each other. We're not codependents, but we're right up to the line. That's okay. I'm going to make sure that you don't feel like jumping off your roof. After the show finishes, you're going to be informed and not feel like you want to jump off your roof, and you're going to be entertained. You're going to feel like you just spent an hour hanging out, if you're a lady, with the girls spilling tea and with the dudes shooting the breeze. Okay, so that's how we're going to do it. So first and foremost, as we jump into the program today, the whole Juneteenth thing, I wanted to start off with this because, you know, we're coming up on the 4th of July. Independence Day is how I refer to it. I mean, I understand it's July 4th, but it's Independence Day as well. And that's actually how it is, first and foremost, Independence Day. So the Juneteenth bill, I know you all have heard of it. Juneteenth, in case you don't know what Juneteenth is, I actually thought that there would have been a move to make it a Texas state holiday, more so than like a federal holiday, because I know a lot of people have been going back and forth over when it was that, you know, the Emancipation Proclamation, etc. And so it is widely observed as it originated in Galveston, Texas, and it's widely observed as the day that marked the effectively ended slavery in the United States. So it was in 1865, that's when you had federal soldiers that came up into Galveston and they said, hey, this was after the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation, like two or some odd years. And they told everyone that all enslaved people are free. They're all Americans. And this was after Robert E. Lee had surrendered, et cetera, et cetera. So the Emancipation Proclamation was in 63. The troops arriving in Galveston was in 65. And it didn't instantly, after the Emancipation Proclamation, people weren't instantly immediately freed. So it only applied to places that were under Confederate control. And it did not apply to like what were described as border states that practiced slavery or areas that were considered like Confederate areas already under Union control. And so a lot of people who were previously enslaved fled behind Union lines. And so that's kind of the backstory of that, right? In Texas, it was a little bit different because there wasn't like any big conflict, no large scale conflict in Texas. I'm giving you the backstory on this so you can kind of understand both sides here. So there were people who were kind of going back and forth on the actual day. Now, in I don't know, it was like the end of the 70s. I think Texas was like the first state. They had a Jubilee Day. They made Juneteenth an official holiday. So Texas kind of had it as an officially recognized holiday. And so then Joe Biden signs it. This was after it was already, by the way, being proposed and promoted by Trump. Trump had already been talking about Juneteenth. This was something that actually began under the Trump administration. So here's the issue at hand. A lot of people are saying that Juneteenth is kind of a troll of Independence Day because of the when it's scheduled and the name of the bill, et cetera, et cetera. Now, there's two ways to think about this. And I understand that nuance is dead, but being that we are smart individual conservatives, we love brains, science, reasoning, and nuance. And so I want to make sure that that is incorporated in keeping with who we are as an ideology. And so with this, I had tweeted something about this. Now, we can have a discussion, which we're going to, about the name of the bill, because the name is a little odd to me. But I have never had any problem with celebrating freedom over Democrat tyranny, ever. I've never had a problem with this. And so I had said before, as a God-fearing American, I'm totally fine with another federal holiday that celebrates this. Actually, I'm totally fine with another federal holiday that keeps government people out of government. Guys, that's one more day that these people aren't there doing stuff. We don't want them in these government buildings doing stuff. Whenever they go in these government buildings and they do stuff, it's never good for us. So I'm all for coming up with whatever to keep them out of the government buildings. I'm for that. These are good things. Now, to this point, I thank Republicans for fighting on the right side of history, because remember back in the day, y'all, who was it that was opposing? Who was it that set the filibuster record against the Civil Rights Act for, 84 days? Democrats, you're right, if you whispered Democrats like I just did. I am all for celebrating liberty over tyranny. I do understand the discussion about the name, though. Now, did you see the name of the bill? This is what everybody's talking about. It was the Juneteenth National Independence Day Act. And so now it's going to be officially known as Juneteenth National Independence Day. So that's what I'm like. National Independence Day? Because we have Independence Day.
We do, and it's national.
And it's national. So why should it be called
It reminds me of when they were trying to switch up the Star Spangled Banner or whatever it was to a different song altogether. It reminds me of that a little bit.
It gives me some pause.
Yeah.
Like I said, I have no problem with celebrating victory over Democrat tyranny. But now if you would have said like Freedom Day, Juneteenth Freedom Day, that's something totally different. But Juneteenth National Independence Day. This is what I ultimately think it comes to, and we're going to explore this more widely. I do think that there's a genuine effort and a genuine sentiment to do exactly what I said, to celebrate the victory of freedom over tyranny, and I have no problem with that. But I'm also completely aware of individuals who love fighting Marxism via culturally and not economically. And these are individuals who want to seek to divide as much as possible. And so they will include language like National Independence Day or whatever they can as a way to stoke the flames of division. Therefore, anyone who would take up any kind of exception to the name at all whatsoever, and by that I mean the National Independence Day part, people could say, look at you, you can't even celebrate, you know, freedom like this. You're just all about being divisive. It's purposeful. It's purposeful to continually, it's an effort by some to continually frame any even legitimate questioning over the name as being divisive. And this comes into the Marxism in the cultural sphere, because going back, you know, and looking throughout history, Marxism has always been looking at economically, pitting the haves against the have-nots and trying to divide and inflame economically. Whereas this, instead of economics, people are looking at ethnicity. We're going to talk more about this. Also on deck, when Biden met Putin, again, I know that this happened last week. I'm dying to talk about this because you guys know I've been waiting for what was happening on the 16th. It was, I think it was kind of a hot mess for Joe Biden. And I also don't think that the United States, I think it ended up making Putin, as I predicted, look like a statesman in Biden. Why do they have his presser outside in the heat? We're going to discuss this, how he's going to end Title 42 and not have any of the deportations of entire family units. This is coming from a guy who says that he doesn't believe in an open border. We've got that. We'll get into some of the SCOTUS stuff, a whole bunch of stuff, critical race theory. You don't want to miss a single bit of today's show. It's super packed. With the economy picking back up again, so many companies are searching for great talent to join their teams. Now, you've probably already seen dozens of positions that you'd be perfect for, but applying for those jobs can be such a tedious process. Each application takes about an average of 18 minutes to complete, so it can be kind of discouraging. This is why you need the Ladder's new Apply For Me service. They'll fill out all of those applications for you. The Ladder's is the number one job search site for six-figure jobs, and their new Apply For Me service will save you a ton of time by by handling your job applications for you. Just upload your resume, answer one set of questions, and then the Ladders team does the rest. Their experts will complete your job applications, send you notifications, and record your status on your dedicated Ladders Premium dashboard. And with their new Google Chrome extension, you can apply to any job on any site with just one click. Start using the Ladders new Apply for Me service today and never fill out another job form again. Visit theladders.com/Dana to sign up. That's theladders.com/Dana.
Your one-stop shop for the information you need to fight back. If you're going to have to learn stuff, you might as well enjoy it. The Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Hoo-hoo. Did they get seven? How much did they get? $7 billion of PPP? I don't remember. $7 million of, or not PPP, but the paycheck protection. Then they get like some federal money, American Airlines. So American Airlines is canceling hundreds of flights through mid-July. They're saying it's in part due to labor shortages. Now, these hundreds of flights through at least mid-July, the company is striving to maintain service because obviously as things are opening up, people are traveling more. And so they said that, you know, the first few weeks of June, we have unprecedented weather to the hubs, every blah, blah, blah. It's not, you have to remember that the labor shortage as it relates to American Airlines, it's, you have to have so many hours of training in order to even maintain your license, in order to even fly. And these are FAA regulations. So it's not so much a labor shortage as it is, I think it's been kind of difficult to keep pilots current with everything being shut down. There's more to this than meets the eye. The White House is eyeing ending the migrant family expulsion. This is something that kind of contradicts what Biden had been saying during the campaign. This is the Title 42. It's that policy. You had entire families that were sent away previously, and if they were seeking asylum, they had to wait, you know, across the border. Now that's being changed. Ron DeSantis wins a 2024 straw poll over Trump. Interesting. And an Illinois town cancels fireworks, but the Pride Parade in Juneteenth, that's fine. Stick with us. Science tells us what's good for the heart is also good for the brain. And that's what led the team behind the best-selling Super Beats Heart Chews to create their new Super Beats Memory and Focus. Research has shown that by promoting blood flow, you can support cardiovascular and cognitive health. Combining clinically studied fermented resveratrol with a patented coffee fruit extract, Super Beats Memory and Focus promotes brain blood flow, supports memory, alertness, and helps to support reduced perceptions of mental fatigue. Superbeats Memory and Focus supports brain health in two ways, by promoting blood flow and supporting healthy levels at BDNF. Healthy levels of BDNF, a key neuroprotein, support overall brain health as we age. Get a free 30-day supply of Superbeats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Superbeats Heart Chews when you shop at danasbeats.com. That's a free 30-day supply of Superbeats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Superbeats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
When you're stuck discussing politics with your friends, who's the most informed person in the group? Yep, you are. You're welcome. Listen, follow, subscribe.
You've said that you were going to press China. You signed on to the G7 communique that said the G7 were calling on China to open up, to let the investigators in. But China basically says they don't want to be interfered with anymore. So what happens now?
The impact, the world's attitude toward China as it develops. China's trying very hard to project itself as a responsible and very, very forthcoming nation. That they are trying very hard to talk about how they're taking and helping the world in terms of COVID-19 and vaccines, and they're trying very hard. Look, certain things you don't have to explain to the people of the world. They see the results. Is China really actually trying to get to the bottom of this? One thing we did discuss, as I told you, in the EU and at the G7 and with NATO, what we should be doing and what I'm going to make an effort to do is rally the world to work on what is going to be the physical mechanism available to detect early on the next pandemic and have a mechanism by which we can respond to it and respond to it early.
That's the president, obviously, and he was talking. This was when he was doing his presser. He was discussing, this was last week. We were talking about China. We did. We had a conversation about really not having China do anything. We completely did. for the love. Welcome back to the show. DanaLash.com. It's good to be with you guys. If you were disappointed in Biden's attention and other world leaders' attention and really ultimately discussion about everything as it relates to do with China responsibility, and even a ton of other things, then you weren't alone. Because, ladies and gents, seems like everybody else was too. He had zero plan to articulate anything as it relates to, and not just him, but other G7 nations. They had no way, no nothing. No idea how they were going to deal not just with China's aggression in the South Pacific and China's aggression in, you know, elsewhere with IP theft, etc., but on the origins of the coronavirus. By the way, did you guys see that the Chinese Academy of Sciences nominated the Wuhan Institute of Virology for its Outstanding Science and Technology Achievement Prize? And they specifically, ladies and gentlemen, named Xi Zingli, a.k.a. Batwoman, director of the WIV's Wuhan National Biosafety Laboratory. Did you all know this? That's like being against chicken murder and saying you, Colonel Sanders, win an award for promoting the lives and safety of chickens. Here's your award. We're going to promote you to chicken safety manager, Colonel Sanders. Same thing, same difference. this is pretty amazing. This was all happening as they were all having this discussion. China does not care. And China's going to push through not caring because they don't care if you care. They think that you're inconsequential and they want to make it economically to where that's actually kind of the case. If you think about it, how much of our debt do they own? And then Joe Biden wants to spend us into more debt that China's going to buy. And then China, all they have to do is basically snap their fingers like Thanos and boom, we're done. They're going to call the bill due on the debt, snap their fingers with their giant of glove on that with all the gemstones. I know it's what I thought when I saw that the whole time. I'm like, it's just a fancy of glove. It's really what it is. Not many people are going to know what that is. I'm sorry. Chinese state-run media said the award is mainly given to individuals or research groups who have made or demonstrated significant achievement in the past 5 years. Well, I would say infecting the whole world is a significant achievement from their lowlier aims of stealing intellectual property. Good heavens. So this, no plan, no anything. I wrote about this. If you get the newsletter, I noted how all of the discussion with Foreign Policy and Biden, it was set up to be like some kind of Top Gun sequel. So, of course, I was going to watch this, even though I was on vacation. The one thing that I noted, and I this before I get into all of this, first and foremost, that they had the Russian thugs that were pushing all the press out of the room in Geneva when Putin and Biden were sitting together and they were talking. So that happened. And then they had, when they did their press conferences, I noted this on Twitter, Vladimir Putin did his press conference inside. Now, it was pretty hot over there. It was like, what, in the mid to upper 80s? He did his inside. Joe Biden was in full sun outside. Now, I don't care what your opinion is of Joe Biden. I bleed red, white, and blue. I identify as, I jokingly said this in some one affiliates, I think, promo liners. I said, I identify as bald eagle. It's true. Occasionally, it's fluid. I don't want to see my country and my leader made to look sillier, weaker, or have less stamina than especially anybody, really. I don't care. Even if you're a friend, I like friendly competition. I still, you know what I'm saying? I still want my leader to look better than yours over in Britain or Canada. Trudeau. But you see, especially a geopolitical foe. So they have him outside in the full heat, and they were saying, oh, look, Vladimir Putin, he spoke for almost 2 hours taking questions from the press. Joe Biden was out there for what, 30 minutes? And then he had to take his jacket off, and then he had to exit the stage. He was sweating because he was in full sun. And my first thought was, who advanced that? I would have them fired. Who advanced that? Who thought it was a good idea to have him stand outside in full sun and answer questions? I'd have him fired. He'd be gone immediately. She'd be gone immediately. Whoever it is, they'd be gone. Because that's ridiculous. And I really wish, instead of attacking every, all I hear from Biden people are Trump, 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 Trump. It's like that, those Muppets. You remember those aliens on, what was it, Sesame Street? And they go, yep, 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 yep. That's what the left is like. But it's Trump, 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 That's what they're like. And you have Russia spinning this whole thing. All of their bots, all of their propagandists are out there spinning it. Oh, look at Joe. You don't get to make fun of his might possibly be perceived lack of stamina or anything else. Only we can. That is our job, you commies. That's how I look at it. It's like family, right? Like, you will fight with your family and you will talk smack about them all day long. You guys, your brother and sister, you'll slap fight. Your brothers will slap fight. But anybody else outside of that circle, when they come in and try to step two, oh man, no, you don't get to do that. Suddenly, you just picked a fight. Whether you wanted to or not, you just picked a fight. So I was thinking about this. You have the Russian propagandist out there spinning this. Look at his perceived lack of stamina. It's like, no, you don't get to make fun of that. Only we can. At least our leader doesn't look like he had facial injections and he looks like a pillow person like Vlad Putin does. Oh, my gosh. You know, you're supposed to have a sunken in portion under your eye, right? Before your cheek. You know that, right? It's not supposed to actually extend past your eyelid. I was looking at his face at some of this stuff and I'm like, He's like the Jocelyn Wildenstein of politics. He really is. He's the closest. Google it. I say this every now and then because there's always new people that join and they hear that name and they go, what? And I say, Google it. Google the name Jocelyn Wildenstein. It's Putin. It's Putin. It's kind of funny. But they don't get to make fun of this. We do. But I thought, no, instead what Biden did is he gave Putin a pair of custom aviators made by Randolph USA. And apparently, I guess this was supposed to be like a troll from the administration or something, because the company makes aviators for NATO. Great. Hand him some sunglasses. But you already handed him the biggest thing, which was Nord Stream 2. You already did that. So I don't know how that's supposed to be a troll, because I'm like, I think that the Nord Stream 2 is the bigger gift here. That's what I think. That was the bigger gift. And they did not want to have Biden do a joint press conference with Putin, which I think was a smart decision. Not just because it would have been a PR nightmare, but because they literally had Russians just hack our colonial gas pipeline. We're not going to share a stage. We're not doing this stuff. We're not doing it. But Biden was, when he was asked about the Russian ransomware attacks and in the context of that colonial, he said, well, I don't think that the Russians did it. I don't think that they planned it. That's not, no one else who is involved in geopolitical understandings, nobody else agrees with us. Nobody else agrees with us. So and you have to realize that meetings like this, they're kind of meaningless, honestly, because every administration wants a reset. Every administration goes into meetings like this thinking that they're going to be the one that gets the reset. That's never going to happen. There's no one that the United States is going to elect that's going to make the communists over at the Kremlin go, you know what, maybe we should actually embrace free and fair elections. That's never going to happen. You're not going to have a reset like that. It is what it is. You just got to deal with the cards that you're dealt. So a couple of other things here to note. One of being, did you guys hear about, pull this up, Sheldon, the names, you know what I mean? Sheldon Whitehouse is, I believe, the man's name. Mr. Sheldon Whitehouse. He is a lawmaker. You guys familiar with him? He's a Democrat. Sheldon Whitehouse. He's an obnoxious Democrat in Rhode Island. And it was discovered that how do these exist? He is part of an all-white club in Rhode Island.
Still?
Still.
To this day?
Dude. Not only is he a member of an all-whites club, which I can't believe still exists today. But he actually was on camera defending it. He gave a soundbite in which he was defending being a part of it. I just gave it to you. Can you play this? Because he was asked about this.
Back in 2017, you had expressed concerns about the membership of the all-white Bailey's Beach Club, said that you hoped it would become more diverse. Now, your family's been members. Your wife is one of the largest shareholders. Has there been any traction in that? Are there any minority members of the club now?
I think the people who are running the place are still working on that, and I'm sorry it hasn't happened yet.
Do you have concerns in 2021? I mean, obviously, it's been 4 years. You had remarks on the floor following the deaths of Breonna Taylor and George Floyd saying, you know, hoping to root out systemic racism in the country. Your thoughts on an elite, all-white, wealthy club, again, in this day and age. You know, should these clubs continue to exist?
It's a long tradition in Rhode Island, and there are many of them. I think we just need to work our way through the issues.
Excuse me, what? It's a long tradition to be in Rhode Island.
Let me guess.
Uh-huh, okay.
Is he a Democrat?
Yes, he is. Oh, yes, yes. Okay. He is a, Democrat. Oh, man, I just was going to make a joke there, and I stopped myself. Everyone is welcome. You know? Did you know where I was going?
I think so.
Did you know what road I was going down? You did.
So.
Uh-huh. You've been with me long. We've known each other long enough. You know where I was going. Yeah, he's defending. It's an all white private beach club. What the hell is that? What is a all white private beach club? So, while everyone's talking about Juneteenth, is anybody going to talk about this with Democrats? What is up with this party and their obsession with Bill Clinton was the member of an all-whites golf club until it was like the 90s. As well, is that like 93? Yeah. And New York Times, when he was running for office, they found out and they ran a piece about it. He apparently, according to their report, paid a lot of money to play there. And then now you have this all-white private beach club. Didn't everybody just freak out over that Veiled Prophet beauty contest? And they were trying to cancel that actress? Yeah. So he's defending it. So are the people, and there were a lot of Democrats that were, and they were trying to like link it to Republicans. And I was like, no, wait, y'all started this thing. Where are all those people with him? So far, I haven't seen anything. He's an actual sitting senator. He puts a butt in his Senate seat and he votes on stuff that affects all of us. And he's the member of, I don't even know, why does a beach club have to be?
Yeah.
What is the significance of a beach club being? Golly, I feel like I need to come back to this. I feel like in my heart, I have to come back to this because it's ridiculous. And I feel like I'm going to need to troll Mr. White House today. Just going to lay that out there on the table for you as an hors d'oeuvre. So coming up, we got a couple of things. We have a new Mr. Strongwoman in the Olympics. I'm going to explain what that means coming up. We're gonna get into that. And then we have some wokery. I just when you thought things couldn't get dumber, I'm going to surprise you with this one thing that is super dumb. And it has to do with the Tolkiens. They're having their little conference. Now, I like J.R.R. Tolkien. I believe everything can go back to Lord of the Rings, but not discussions about transgenderism in Middle Earth. I'm not making this up. We're going to discuss that and a whole bunch more. This year, Kel-Tec is celebrating 30 years of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms, pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KelTecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about my friend Humans at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
Red meat, black coffee, truth-telling. The Dana Show.
This story from Reuters, New Zealand names a transgender athlete to the women's Tokyo Olympics weightlifting team. The weightlifter, he goes by the name of Laurel Hubbard, and he is the first transgender athlete to compete at the Olympics. He was selected by New Zealand. Now, it's important to know also that he apparently has competed. This is only a recent thing for him. He has competed prior as a male, and apparently can lift the combined weight of the current first and second place, I guess, weightlifters that are in the Olympics that he's going to be competing with, I guess. I'm not quite sure. Very interesting. So that's, well, move over, ladies. It's like it's Mr. Strongwoman, I'm telling you. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store. Now more than ever, it's vital to support companies and organizations that share your values. And Patriot Mobile is calling all patriots. Switch to Patriot Mobile today. Bring your own phone and you'll get 50% off your first 2 months plus a free Patriot starter kit. And for a limited time, enter the Be a Patriot promotion to win a free phone and cellular service for life. Simply donate to one of Patriot Mobile's participating charities, send in your thoughts on what it means to be a patriot, or switch your service to a Patriot Mobile plan. With the broadest nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget and great multi-line discounts. Switching is easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Veterans and first responders save even more, so make the switch today. Get the discount, free starter kit, and enter the Be a Patriot promotion for a chance to win using the offer code DANA. A full list of rules is available at patriotmobile.com/Dana. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
Where did the money come from to send busloads of people in? Who supported them in all of this? Where was the organizing taking place? I'm told there was organizing taking place right in the Trump campaign. And so if they really are concerned about why our Capitol was invaded and why there was an insurrection, they would support a commission to find out. But they don't want to know because too many of them side with them and support what they have done.
Did I actually accidentally ingest a crack rock? Like how? What happened here? Welcome to the show. Welcome back. I'm Dana Lash, DanaLash.com. It's good to be with you guys. I missed you guys last week. Back from a little bit of some time off. I guess you could call it a vacation, some time off. It was nice. Welcome back to the show, though. It is Monday. It's our second hour of broadcasting, the number one show from 12 to 3 p.m. Eastern. We're number one, have been for a while, and there's a reason, because we have fun. This, though, is not fun. The situation with Maxine Rodder. I'm told the Capitol riot mob was organized by the Trump campaign. Again, a sitting Democrat lawmaker who is going out and irresponsibly just saying crazy stuff to incite. That does seem like incitement. The Trump campaign organized that. First off, that's like saying, I'm told that you beat animals with bats, family pets and stuff. I'm told that. I was told that by somebody. Told, informed, right? It's kind of how that works. That's just irresponsible. We're actually just talking about this on break. I really purposely don't talk a lot about the January 6th stuff because we had a summer of riots and mobs and burning buildings. And I have been reliably informed that these things are just ideas. Mm-hmm. Right. Some people did something on January 6th. Isn't that kind of how it goes? Yep. A few people broke off peaceful. I'm not going to sit here and devote more attention to that than the year long burning of entire city blocks and murder, arson, assault, etc. Just I really wish that the FBI was as interested in going after some of those people as much as they seem to be going after people who apparently just even attended the protest and didn't even realize what was happening, that people had broken away and went somewhere else, went into the Capitol building. So a lot of things to process today, because we've been discussing not just we've been discussing a lot of the situation with the Democrats and going into. I have a lot of coronavirus headlines as well that I want to make sure that we get into, and some CRT stuff. I wanted to touch on this really quickly, and then we're going to pivot here. Pivot, like in Friends. The new gas. Last week when Biden was meeting with Putin. And he had already greenlit Nord Stream 2. This is something else that kind of goes along with that you need to pay attention to. And it's kind of a flashback, but there's progression. So you have the Nord Stream 2, but now there's also Russia v. China, a relationship, Power of Siberia 2 pipeline, a new route and strategic opportunities for some energy agreements and alliances between Russia and China. Just the last thing that we need to happen right now, quite honestly. The last thing that needs to take place. Putting that up on your table. The stories that have been circulating around coronavirus with the heart inflammation. This was a big, this really kind of hit the peak last week and a lot, well, no, it hit the headlines last week. And now a lot of people are discussing this. Let me just say this. It's one of the reasons why a lot of people are hesitant to either themselves get vaccinated or have their kids be vaccinated. And I don't have a problem with what people want to what they choose to do. But to pretend that individuals who have no problems with vaccines, they want to see what are the long-term effects with this, no long-term studies. They just kind of want to see what's going on with this situation. To shame people and try to direct their behavior into acting a certain way because you're going to publicly ridicule or shame them is not the best way to advocate for taking this. And there is zero transparency from the administration. We went from having so many press conferences with coronavirus task forces to where we were all so bored with them, to now I really regret ever complaining about a coronavirus task force press conference that took place every single day for months on end, because now we don't have anything. This is actually a CNN piece. Heart inflammation condition looked like heart attack in kids, pediatrician says. They're very careful to omit from the headline that public health officials it's in the third graph. They said that the teenage boys in question all looked like they were having heart attacks. They complained of chest pain, general discomfort. They looked as though they were suffering an acute myocardial infarction or a heart attack. And they said that they weren't. Instead, the ages 14 to 19, they had a very rare type of heart inflammation. And this is, I'm reading from CNN, it's one that public health officials are beginning to link to the COVID-19 vaccines. Now, this is from CNN. Now, Dr. Judith Guzman Cottrell of Oregon Health and Science University said Thursday of last week, quote, fortunately, none of our patients were critically ill and all of them responded quickly to treatment. Now, they said that they were all hospitalized for cardiac monitoring, that these patients, and that they had recovered. Now, this particular doctor had said to the press, as quoted by CNN, that she believes that the heart inflammation called myocarditis might be a result of a very rare reaction to the coronavirus vaccine. Could be rare, but there seems to be a couple of hundred cases of this now. I just want to point out that Johnson & Johnson was pulled because you had 6 people out of 6 million that were dealing with clotting some kind of clotting issues that they immediately assumed had to be related to that. And that ended up getting pulled, which I thought was wild. And this, to me, the fact that none of this has been, and yet this seems to be at a greater number. I don't know. It just gives you have more questions, right? So they said that, because I've been looking at this for quite some time, and they said that the American Heart Association, they were still behind these, you know, kids having these vaccines, etc. I was reading another story about this. A lot of health professionals have been discussing it online. There have been people who've been very forthright about what they have, what they've experienced within their own families. Now, there was another one. This is from News Channel 3 that they were talking about this, a local news media. There's some, we have some concerns. And the fact that you can't even ask a question about any of this without it being assumed that you're like some kind of quote unquote anti-vaxxer is really frustrating, particularly if you're a parent, because you all you want to do is find out what's the best, what's your best way to react? What's the best thing that you can do? And it's frustrating because we can't get any answers to this. You don't have the task force press conference that's giving an answer. You have none of this. And it's you know, it's kind of scary. When you look at this, it's scary for parents. No one's trying to go out and purposely be a jerk about it, but I really do think that parents are owed some answers. And here's another doctor, verified on Twitter. This guy's he's a professor at Johns Hopkins School of Medicine and Bloomberg School of Public Health. He's the editor of MedPage. He has a New York Times best-selling book on medicine. He said, for weeks now, several of us researchers have been extremely concerned about the safety risks of the second dose. He says the CDC and FDA have been far too slow to put the badly needed advisory warning on the second dose. So one researcher had also posed the question, speaking about male teenagers in particular, and they were wondering if, even though their risk with the virus is super low in terms of, you know, really, really bad reaction with the virus, they posed, well, why not just give the first dose and withhold the second, because you're still achieving what they said is a 70% risk reduction. So, doesn't this kind of conflate with what the CDC had explained earlier about how kids, remember, this is actually one of those coronavirus task force press conferences where they were saying that kids don't have that ability to actually harbor the virus because of their physical maturity wasn't at the stage that it needed to be in order to do so. So I think that's a legitimate, these are legitimate concerns and questions that we're just, unfortunately, not receiving any answers to. We're not getting anything about that. Instead, what we're told is, oh, well, you better do this or else, or it's patriotic and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You're shamed over it. And that's just, we need some answers. There's nothing wrong with getting some answers about this. But there's, you know, it's a genuine, you get some concerns. And I've noticed that in people who talk about this stuff, I've noticed that they have to like lock their accounts and all kinds of stuff. Here's another thing that I wanted to share with you guys too. I saw this over at Town Hall. Scott Moorfield had this insane piece. A group of parents sent their kids' face masks to a lab for analysis. You guys want to know what they found? Knowing that the masks are entirely ineffective. This is in Gainesville, Florida. They submitted 6 face masks to a lab for analysis. 5 of the masks were contaminated with bacteria, parasites, and fungi, including 3 with dangerous pathogenic and pneumonia-causing bacteria. No virus was detected on the mask, not a single virus, although the test is capable of detecting viruses.
Because they passed through it.
Yeah, because they passed through it is why. The analysis detected the following 11 alarmingly dangerous pathogens on the mask. Streptococcus pneumoniae, tuberculosis, meningitis, sepsis, keratitis, granulomatous amoebic encephalitis. Holy wow. Pneumonia, bloodstream infections, meningitis, UTIs, resistant to antibiotics, E. coli, the Borrelia burgdorferi, which causes Lyme disease, diphtheria, Legionnaire's disease, staph, serotype M3, severe infections, high morbidity rates, and then meningitis sepsis. They said that half of the masks were contaminated with one or more strain of pneumonia-causing bacteria, one-third contaminated with more strains of meningitis-causing bacteria, one-third contaminated with dangerous antibiotic-resistant bacterial pathogens. In addition, less dangerous pathogens were identified, including those that can cause fever, ulcer, acne, strep throat, periodontal disease, yeast infections, Rocky Mountain spotted fever, and more. And they said that the face masks studied were new or freshly laundered before wearing, and they had been worn for 5 to 8 hours, most during in-person schooling by children aged 6 through 11. One was worn by an adult. And a T-shirt worn by one of the children at school and unworn masks were also tested as controls. No pathogens were found on the controls. Wow. Yeah. That's what people have been putting on their kids' faces.
Shooting down woke culture one crazy headline at a time. It's the Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Texas Governor Abbott defunds the Texas state legislature over their voting reform block. He vetoed funding. This is something that Dan Patrick said was probably going to happen. Actually, no, Abbott said it was probably going to happen. We talked to him before I went on vacation. He vetoed funding for the state's legislature on Friday. He promised to do it on the show, and he did this after state Democrats signed a walkout to protest and block that GOP-backed voting reform bill. So now you don't have, I mean, this is the paychecks of state lawmakers and their staff members, the budgets of legislative agencies. Now, Texas Tribune's trying to question the constitutionality of it. From what I understand from a number of lawyers in Texas, that it actually is constitutional in keeping with the Texas state constitution. But we'll see how this plays out. But he said he's going to do it. I mean, you know, it's not like you're not surprised. This is interesting, too. Mark Meadows, there was that discussion of a straw poll that DeSantis won against one straw poll. But he says that Ron DeSantis would not run against Trump in 2024 if Trump decided to run. Now, I like DeSantis, and I think that DeSantis is a strong contender, and I hope that it doesn't get to that point. I have a lot of thoughts on this because I think that I think DeSantis would be really, really, really hard for the media to try to take down because they've tried a million times and it's just not. I think Trump is powerful as like a fundraiser, and I don't know. We'll get into this as we get closer to that point. But that's interesting that Meadows had said that. Also, New York prosecutors dropped looting charges against hundreds that were arrested over the summer and the riots and everything else. But if you showed up, there were people who showed up at the protest who were like at the food trucks while people were in the Capitol, and they had the FBI visit their house. But these people, they get all charges dropped. California, they are dealing with outages during the heat wave, and they're telling the electric vehicle owners to not charge their cars because it's going to be too much for the grid. So good luck. This is why I also love fossil fuels so much. 8 million are also facing foreclosure or eviction beginning on July 1st. So that economic recovery is about to, we're going to talk about this as well coming up. Don't go anywhere. More of the Dana Show coming up after this.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others. The Dana Show.
The people who are giving the ad hominems are saying, Fauci misled us. First he said no mask, then he said mask. Well, let me give you a flash. That's the way science works. What? You work with the data you have at the time. It is essential as a scientist that you evolve your opinion and your recommendations based on the data as it evolves. That is the nature of science. It is a self-correcting process. And that's the reason why I say people who then criticize me about that are actually criticizing science. It was not a change because I felt like flip-flopping. It was a change because the evidence changed.
Okay,
the data changed.
That's none of this. First off, that's Dr. Fauci. Welcome back to the program. And he's trying to walk back this comment that he had made, well, all the back and forth on masking, right? And this was something that they were able to get over at Grabian. And he was saying that he was doing this podcast and he was saying that, well, I haven't flip-flopped on masks at all. It's just that there was some new data that came out during the pandemic that actually was showing their use against coronavirus, except none of this is true. That's not true. Not at all. In fact, let me go to Grabian here. There were at least six studies that came out during the whole pandemic that showed the opposite of what Fauci said. Remember the mask testing that we just shared before break? We were talking about Town Hall had a piece where parents took masks in to have them tested. And for the controls, they used unworn masks and then T-shirts. And they found all of these pathogens like pneumonia, all kinds of stuff, sepsis, Legionnaire's disease on the mask. They found nothing on the shirt, nothing on the unused mask. But it was just the shirt was someone that a kid wore the shirt during at school. And these masks were worn for 5 to 8 hours, new or freshly washed, and they were used at school. They found all of this stuff on the masks, nothing on the controls. And so, and that's because of other studies that have been done that were discussing how the virus, the particles for the virus are actually small enough that those, you know, regular masks and particularly cloth masks are entirely ineffective. I shared, I had it up on Substack. What is it? Like maybe 7 or 8%, I think, effectiveness was what. Now, N95s, those are different. But you were told not to wear N95s. Remember, in some places, wouldn't even sell you N95s. So there were a number of studies. Like, for instance, Grabian notes that there was January 1st, 1920 was one of the first ones that showed masks have not been proved efficient enough to warrant compulsory application for the checking of epidemics. March 1st, 2020, Sacramento Bee, wearing a face mask could put you at greater risk for coronavirus. This is March 31st, 2020. Fox News said Surgeon General data does not back up wearing masks in public. This is the U.S. Surgeon General Jerome Adams. He said that, quote, the data doesn't show that wearing masks in public will help people, end quote, during the coronavirus pandemic. And this is something also that originally that the World Health Organization and the CDC had reaffirmed several days in a row that they did not recommend that the general public wear masks. Then, of course, you have Business Insider, April 7th, 2020. World Health Organization says there's no need for healthy people to wear face masks. And this is when they even contradicted the CDC. Days after the CDC told everybody to cover their face, the World Health Organization said that healthy people don't need to wear it, that doing so will not provide any additional protection from the coronavirus. And one of the earlier stories that they had also cited a study that discussed virus particles and the significance of the weave of a mask and how they could actually pass through. This is a Wired piece from April 8th, 2020. The scientific double standard of face masks, they said that they looked at clinical trials proving the 6 feet distance, et cetera. But the face mask, they were this was one of those studies where they were looking at face masks and they said that N95s were effective, but the other ones, no. Then there was a bunch of other studies cited May 6, 2020, May 21st, 2020. New England Journal of Medicine, quote, masks offer little, if any, protection from infection, end quote. And this was also Lockdown Skeptics, scientific information on masks against coronavirus. This was June 7th, 2020. They were writing on how masks were being widely recommended. However, the science does not support that. And they listed a number of other studies, including some research that they had done independently. You also had the Foundation for Economic Education. This was in August 6th of 2020, Europe's top health officials. Officials say masks aren't at all helpful in beating coronavirus. I know. Then you also had the Ontario arbitration fight about masks. Several Ontario hospitals, this was in August 7th of 2020, wanted to make all nurses get flu vaccinations they couldn't legally. So they required the nurses who wouldn't get vaccinations to wear masks. The nurses filed a grievance saying that the masks were useless and that they should not be forced to wear them. Both sides took the arbitration seriously, long fight. And in fact, when they got all the experts in, what did they discover? That the masks were entirely useless. Town Hall had a piece, 9/14/2020, if masks work, why don't they actually work? And they cited new studies. Even the CDC admitted that with or without masks, 15 minutes of close contact with an infected person, the virus will still spread. Frontiers in Medicine, September 20th, 2020. Surgical mask wearing amongst individuals in non-healthcare settings is not significantly associated with a reduction in acute respiratory illnesses, viruses, in this meta review. You want me to keep going on? Because I have a lot. And also of Internal Medicine. This was November 18th, 2020. Randomly controlled trial in Denmark found that wearing masks did not stop coronavirus spread. Also, there was another story. This was cited by Town Hall in December 21 of 2020. New mask study shows that mask mandates had zero effect in Florida or nationwide, and they had done some. They cited some independent studies as well. Tennessee data, mask versus unmasked counties, showing that masks did not control it. Same in Montana. There was also a study. Washington Post cites, this was March 18th, 2021, how there were numerous studies indicating masks and limiting group activities. Masks cannot actually help control the spread of the virus. CDC says, quote, CDC is not aware of any randomized controlled trials that show masks or double face cloths or face coverings are effective against coronavirus. This was April 27th, 2021. The link is still live on the CDC.gov website. And then you have MedRxiv, masks did not slow the coronavirus spread, a new study. And then Rational Ground, this was the Gainesville, Florida that I had just cited, a group of parents in Gainesville. They studied these masks at the University of Florida, and what they discovered was not only did the masks not stop any kind of viruses, but they held dangerous pathogens, pneumonia, tuberculosis, meningitis, sepsis, encephalitis, bloodstream infections, meningitis, UTIs. A lot of the bacterial stuff they noted were resistant to antibiotics, diphtheria, Legionnaire's disease, etc. So what was that you said again, Dr. Fauci? See, this isn't science. This is politics. And it's also ego. This guy needs to go. Inexcusable. Now he's trying to save his own butt. That's what this is about. You evolve your opinion and recommendations based on the data. Well, you use scientific theory, and that's not what he's been doing with this. You don't go out there and say it's just science when you're talking about. He's literally saying that if you're criticizing his stance on mask wearing, and that's where he initially got a lot of criticism, that you're anti-science, yet Fauci was entirely anti-science and wholly political when he was promoting it. He lied about it in a television interview. That clip went viral to the point where YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Google were all suppressing the sharing of it because it was so incriminating. He went from that to saying, oh no, you got to wear everything. And by the way, I said that because I was lying to you originally. So he lied about lying to people. No, this, it doesn't do anything. And then ignored all of the studies that were released that completely contradict his opinion. He is not incorporating scientific theory in order to come to these assessments that he's sharing with the nation, on which, by the way, everyone from schools to workplaces to government to your day-to-day life, everyone is basing their rules and restrictions and whether or not you can get ticketed or go to jail for not wearing a face covering based on what this guy has said. And he now dares to smear you as some sort of anti-science barbarian because you're criticizing something that is justifiably should be criticized? No, that's anti-science. He's a political egoist. That's what this is. Shame on him.
You know, I'd venture to say to question science is actually science because
yes!
That's exactly what we've been doing. And instead of us being, you know, fighting him in some way, we're literally questioning the science and why things changed. Masks didn't change. So yeah. Why the heck did the science change?
Exactly. And now you see why there's hesitancy with people when they're looking at getting the vaccine. Do you understand the hesitancy that people have now? And so it's so incredibly frustrating. Now, did you also see, let me pull this up. This was in one of my notes. I thought this was actually incredibly interesting because there's discussion of a Chinese official, whether or not they actually defected. This is has a top Chinese official defected to the United States with Wuhan lab secrets. Rumors are swirling that the vice minister of state security fled Beijing in February with information that sparked Biden's U-turn on coronavirus origins. They believe that this Chinese official fled to the U.S. with his daughter. He was a career spy, and he was promoted recently as chief of counterintelligence. This would be the highest level defector in the history of communist China. And so the speculation is that this guy gave evidence on the Wuhan lab that prompted Biden's about face. Because remember, at first he wasn't even going to entertain the idea. Now, all of a sudden, he just was like got warm to the idea. Apparently, Chinese officials demanded his return at that weird summit in Alaska. Very interesting. Just saying. Find it fascinating. Now, one of the other things that we've been looking at here is, I want to kind of switch it up, and the McCluskeys. I don't know why they entered into a plea deal. I saw this headline over the weekend. They had, they tweeted photos of their new purchases, so they got new firearms because they had to surrender their firearms after they pled guilty to misdemeanor charges. And they said that, you know, they would do it again. So they're not like prohibited possessors. I don't know why they had to surrender, because one of them was inoperable. Right. Remember the handgun that she had, that Patricia McCluskey had, it was inoperable. And I shared with you the story of how it was Kim Gardner had sent it. She had requested that the crime lab actually make the pistol operable so she could get a felony charge against Patricia McCluskey. So the original felony charge against Patricia McCluskey was that she was committing assault with a deadly weapon. But the pistol was inoperable because it was a courtroom prop. It didn't actually work. It was not even assembled properly to work. It was purposefully assembled improperly with a firing pin on everything. So you could not use it. It was a paperweight. Which was kind of ballsy for her to go out there and actually use a paperweight, which I do not recommend anyone doing. And when they had surrendered his rifle and her pistol, when they surrendered those to police, the word was that Kim Gardner, who was the circuit attorney overseeing the case at the time, the crime lab, and I wrote about this at the time at danalash.com, the crime lab was told to make that pistol operable, which they did. They disassembled it and put it back together and made it operable. And then it was on that the assault with a deadly weapon charge, with that felony charge, was based. So that's, you actually had Kim Gardner tampering with evidence, according to all reports. And so I think that, I'm not quite sure why they turn, because I'm with you. I don't necessarily I don't consider that a win, because they forfeited their rifle and pistol, which are apparently they're going to be destroyed. But nothing was said about the people who, and just again, a recap, if you're unfamiliar, I lived down the street from this area. I know this area like the back of my hand. The Central West End area in which they lived in. It's weird because it's a private neighborhood within the city. They actually have to pay for their streets, pay for their sidewalks. They have to pay for everything. The city has nothing to do with it. And it's been like that since the creation. And these are all historic homes. This has been like that since the creation of that particular area. It's completely, entirely gated because it is private. And what happened is the mob broke through the private gate, and there are pictures of it. They broke through the gate. Even the police confirmed this, and they went and trespassed. So first you have damage. Your protest ceases being peaceful when you are damaging private property. So they had broke through that gate, and then they were trespassing on their property. And that's why you can't really have a discussion about easements and all of that, because he had to actually like lay the sidewalk in front of his house. Like you're responsible for that when you live there. And that's what you have to, if you're moving there, you have to consider that as an additional, very expensive cost. And then they, in addition to that, but they were also screaming threats, which you can hear on all of the different, you know, all the different video footage that was taken. And so they were right up. They were almost looked like they were trying to get on the lawn. So, yes, that was criminal trespass, and none of these people were charged. Nobody was charged. There is an absolute double standard in the enforcement of law in this country. Absolutely. And it's not the way that the left wants you to believe it is. In fact, it's the opposite.
The Dana Show, sponsored by 30 years of game-changing Kel-Tec innovation, like the P-50, a new breed of pistol. Innovation. Performance. Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Where to even start? Okay. Let's start with this Florida man who wrecked a liquor store and blamed it on a caterpillar. Crestview, Florida. Florida man destroyed a liquor store that was under construction, told police that he was Alice in Wonderland and that a hookah-smoking caterpillar ordered him to attack the site. I'm not making this up. Matthew Horace Jones broke into a fenced area, used a forklift, drove it around, cost $100,000 in damages. Grand theft felony, other charges, but he legit said that. That it was a, good heavens. This is talent. A man was arrested after driving the wrong way in a Burger King drive-thru, and he was apparently driving a semi. How does that happen? How do you go wrong way through a bet in a semi? We have more to come. Don't go anywhere.
President Biden also decided not to impose sanctions over Nord Stream 2, which is a gas pipeline from Russia to Europe that will expand Russian influence there. The top Republican on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, Michael McCaul, told me, quote, they are testing Biden, and in my judgment, he failed the test. Why are you giving in to Russia on this pipeline?
I think this is another area where there's some kind of misunderstanding rooted in that question. We have, in fact, sanctioned several Russian entities when it comes to Nord Stream 2. We waived sanctions only on two, and they were not Russian. It was a German individual and a Swiss company.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I can't. Okay, the German individual was a former East Stasi agent who heads up Nord Stream 2. And he's been BFFs with Putin for longer than some of you have been alive. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash, DanaLash.com, at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. Find me on Substack. It's up at DanaLash.com, right up where it says subscribe, which we're getting ready to just redo the website. We got a lot of stuff that's coming down the road for you. And it's good to be with you, and welcome to all of our new Odyssey. All of our new Odyssey family members, we like you. We like you lots. Pull up a chair. It's going to get weird, but it'll be fun. We promise. Also our associate producer in DC, Steve, his parents are listening for the first time today. So if you first joined the Dana Show, one of my favorite things, and I say this because I like to be the elder sister here, and I like to make, I really just love just making millennials like our God love him, Steve, just is uncomfortable and make him fear sometimes. Like, wait, if my parents are listening now, what? We will not talk about his drug use, or which is not real. We're totally joking. He's a good person. He actually volunteers in homeless shelters, and he rescues baby seals from oil slicks.
Man, you went from one way to the other.
Yeah, you know, because I started. You know why? No. Believe it. You know why? Because there was my better angel was like, he was so excited when all the ladies had to drop their face masks because he could see their faces again, and you know, maybe he'll find love. So I was thinking, man, he's really had it hard. He's had a hard time. So my better angel intervened, and I realized, you know, I'm not going to make it hard for you, Steve. We're going to tell your parents about all the great things that you've done. Like I said, saving them baby seals from oil slicks and going down and rescuing kittens from trees and all this stuff.
No idea.
I mean, I don't know, because he doesn't brag about it. You know, his parents don't know because he doesn't brag about it.
He doesn't brag about it? It's not that he just didn't
don't even
do
know.
Those things?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Totally. For sure. Like, he's the one who will touch the door handle when he opens the door for a woman, not because he's, you know, he's being chivalrous, but also he doesn't want her to get the Rona. You know, when we were told that it lived on surfaces, door handles are nasty. Ugh.
Gentlemanly.
Yeah. Yeah. So, see, look, Steve, we're helping you. Wink, wink. Radio wink. We're helping you.
Okay, you were the one that brought up the mask story about the faces and asked me that specific question. So I didn't come up with that. You said that.
No, I felt bad for it. I was like, man.
Well, you should.
Because when I said that, there were people on Twitter who were going, yeah, that's how it was. Like, it was really, it's like difficult to, you know. And there was one guy who messaged, and he's been like a longtime listener. And he's, actually, he's engaged now. So, and I don't want to like call him out, but he's engaged now to a nice, nice, good, freedom-loving girl. But he said that, like, when the pandemic started, it was really, I mean, even when people started moving around a little bit, he was like, dude, I think I'm like Steve's age. And it was really hard to, he's like, I didn't want to tell a girl, can you move your mask so I can see if you're cute or not? Like, I didn't want to tell them that. He's like, it like puts us in the weirdest position. And I realized, I was like, dude, I never actually thought about that. And he was like, I don't know. Maybe she is like, he goes, you know, what if they had huge Bugs Bunny teeth? I don't know. And I was thinking about that. I'm like, you all really had to go through it, didn't you?
But love is blind, I thought.
Bless your precious little baby angel hearts.
Love's not blind?
Oh, whoever says love is not blind is Blind
himself.
Love's totally blind.
Yeah, sure it is. Sure it is. Yeah, really? Okay, so this, sidebar, this is stuff I ask Chris when we're going to bed. I'll be like, Chris, and I'll make the ugliest face ever. And I'll just look at him like he's about to go to sleep. The man's like right there on the cusp of going to dreamland. And I'll look over at him and I have like my phone illuminating my face and I'll go, hey, Chris, psst, Chris. And he'll go, oh, what? And I'll ask him, if I look like this, and I'll make like a really ugly face. If I look like this, would you have walked up to me? And he's like, what? I'm like, I was thinking about this. If I look like this, would you have walked up to me? Would you have been interested in me? And he's like, why are you asking me this right now? I'm like, because I was thinking about it. I need to know. Or I'll be like, I'll ask him things like, if you met me and I had like wheels for legs instead of actual, like huge bicycle wheels. And just weird things. Like, you know how, I don't know, maybe it's just me. Am I the only person who does this?
Right? I think so.
Okay, maybe I am.
One of the few, mm-hmm. Maybe.
Anyway, this was going somewhere. I don't know. But let's talk about some serious issues. We are serious people. Yes. Welcome to the show. DanaLash.com. All right, so the Nord Stream, that soundbite, I could pull my hair out. I love the guy. He's like, well, you know, one's a German and the other's a Swiss dude. I mean, you know, you mean the German guy who literally was a Stasi agent. Yep. Literally. That's the correct usage of that word. And he was also a big Putin brown noser. He's like, might as well be Russian. Might as well be Russian, this guy. So he goes ahead. He was the one who is on the board of directors for Nord Stream 2. He's like the big boss over there. He was the guy who is running the whole Nord Stream thing. And that's where the sanctions were lifted. So this guy's, he's playing upon people not knowing the history of this. He's playing on people not realizing what is actually happening here. Now, the other thing is that Daily Caller noted that it was Biden who overruled Tony Blinken, Secretary of State, and other members of staff who they were wanting sanctions against Nord Stream 2 between Russia and Germany from going forward. What? Yeah, Biden said, no, we're not having the sanctions. And Blinken and his staff apparently were telling Biden about the sanctions. Yes, it's going to derail the pipeline. They say it's over 90% complete. I've heard it was 95% complete. Biden overruled it. He said that sanctions would jeopardize U.S. relations with Germany and were likely to only slow construction. So go ahead and let it go. So if you're just a quick refresher, the Nord Stream 2 pipeline is essentially replacing the first pipeline that went through Ukraine, right? Ukraine had this special protection from Russian aggression because it was considered a transit country. They had this pipeline that went through. They could charge fees for this. What was like $3 million or $3 billion or something that they made annually to their GDP from this pipeline? And Russia was not going to be, Russia could only be so aggressive to a certain point towards Ukraine because anything beyond that, they're going to be compromising an asset to their energy infrastructure. So Germany decides to close all their nuclear plants. They want cheap, dirty Russian gas as opposed to the very nice, refined, clean gas from the United States. But they want dirty Russian gas. So they decided they're going to work with Russia. Russia's going to bypass Ukraine, send this pipeline through all the way to Germany, circumvent Ukraine. And there was this propaganda war where they were going out and really pushing, oh, that first pipeline that goes through Ukraine. Oh, those Ukrainians, they haven't been keeping up the pipeline. Oh, it's dirty and broke down. And no, it's so dangerous. But it wasn't. It's just Russia being Russia. And so by doing this now, Ukraine loses that transit country status and they lose their protection against Russian aggression. Now, remember, Russia was having this huge troop buildup there at the border. They've been trying to squeeze Ukraine out of the Black Sea. They want that port. That's one of the reasons why they annexed Crimea, because they wanted to have that Sevastopol port and be able to, because they have one port already, but it's not a big deep water port. They needed something that would be able to really accommodate everything that they wanted to do. So they've had this troop buildup. They've had this, you know, aggression and all this stuff. And this is one of the things that when Joe Biden greenlit that pipeline, Nord Stream 2, Zelensky, the Russian president, said this, or prime minister, said that this is dangerous. You just gave them an amazing weapon, was his, I think, direct translation. It was an amazing weapon, and you also gave them the bullets. That's what he said. And so that was Zelensky, the Russian leader, or the Ukrainian leader. And so Germany, remember when Trump went over, the big thing between Trump and Angela Merkel, who behaved like a Veruca Salt, Germany did not want to. They wanted to be a NATO nation. And remember, this is back when you know, Cold War, you have NATO, you have Warsaw Pact, and NATO was created in response to, one of the things that they were created against was Russian, you know, aggression. This was after World War II, and you were dividing up Germany, et cetera, et cetera. So Germany's a NATO nation, and a NATO nation wants to be reliant upon one of the very entities that NATO was created to stand against. And do you honestly think for one second, if there's a hard winter and Germany's needed on something, because say Russia's deciding to invade Ukraine, I don't know, I'm just using this as a potential scenario here. Yeah. And if they need Germany to oppose, well, all Russia would have to do is flip the switch and turn off gas, heating in homes, hospitals, elsewhere. What is Germany going to do? Do you honestly think that Germany is going to stand against Russia when Russia is now has their boot on the neck of Germany? They made themselves dependent upon Russian energy. That's a national security issue. Not only is it a national security issue, not just for Germany, but then you also have to consider interest to the United States. Think about one of my favorite games to play ever is Risk. I love Risk. I own at Risk. I will eat your soul at Risk. I don't care. Like when I play my kids, we can't play Monopoly in my house anymore. It's banned because we are the most competitive people you will ever meet in your life. And I'm like, I don't care if it's blood. This is a game. This isn't show business. It's game business. Let's do it. So we play Risk, and I'm like kicking my kids' butts all over the board. And, you know, my husband, my family, everybody else. And it's just because you got to be mean when you do this stuff. You have to look at it without, oh, that's great. You're a friend, but I really need this, so I'm going to take it. You got to be geopolitical about it. Very clinical. And so I'm looking at this like in a Risk kind of situation, right? I don't want Russia expanding influence in areas that could be a stepping stone to one day threatening national security. However, at the same time, I'm not a nation builder, and I'm one of those individuals that if we ever must be prevailed upon to get involved in any kind of military conflict, it needs to be the last possible option. And then you turn everyone into a hole in the ground, your enemies into a hole in the ground. You don't rebuild. This is what happens when you're conquered. This is what happens when you mess around and find out, right? That's kind of how I view it. Peace through strength. Now what we're getting is weakness through chaos. That's what we're having right now. That's what this is. And think about this. You have Russia. If they dominate in the Black Sea, do you honestly think that Erdogan is not going to give him a pass right there through the channel in Istanbul and then right into the Mediterranean? And then do you think that if they're able to have some kind of an agreement with Iran, that they're not going to threaten Israel, which is our last ally right there really in that region? I mean, we're a convenient ally for Saudi Arabia because they're opposed to Iran. But this is what you got to look at the big picture. There's a lot more at play here than just like simple, you know, back and forth A, B, and C. So this is huge. This is absolutely huge. And for those people who say, well, why should Germany have to ask the United States' permission? Why the hell should the United States have to pay for Germany's defense? Why should we pay for something that they can't even, that German leadership can't be prevailed upon to invest in themselves? Yeah, where my money goes, I go. You can do whatever the heck you want with whatever pipeline you want to, but you don't get any kind of military support. You don't get any taxpayer dollars. You don't get a helping hand from the United States. You are on your own. You want to do that? There's a lot more to come.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's Chapter and Verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at danalash.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
This story, I saw this over the weekend, and my head was a spinning. This has to do with in Portland. So Portland's entire riot squad of 50 officers resigned after a cop was charged with assault for striking an activist photographer during a BLM protest. It's not a protest. When you're setting a federal courthouse on fire, it's not a protest anymore. It's a riot. That's a riot. But, and I remember this because the photographer named was Terry Jacobs. And apparently Jacobs, I mean, a lot of people were reporting that she was part of the riot. But she was not charged with any crime, you know, because journalists, and there's a lot of this, there are activists who go into journalism because they think that's going to give them better leverage for their pieces or something. I don't know. But now they have no idea how Portland's, how police are going to be able to respond to riots because they don't have a riot squad now. But you know what? Good for the officers, because you can only take so much. You know what I'm saying? I get it. You can only take so much. So this is something that we're, gosh, I have a lot of SCOTUS stuff that I wanted to run down as well, which we're going to do that. The Ohio AG has filed a lawsuit to classify Google as a common carrier, you know, or like a public utility. Man, these are going to be things that we're going to, these are going to be huge discussions to have, because there's, I think, some gray area that needs to be clarified legally. But Dave Yost, who's the Ohio Attorney General, he asked the court to legally declare that Google is a public utility. He filed suit against the big tech giant, this according to CNET. And Justice Thomas said that, you know, talking about digital platforms, there's some, we'll talk about this coming up. Stay with us.
Politics, pop culture, and whatever else gets canceled, tossed in a blender, paid for by sponsored hate mail. It's The Dana Show.
Heck yeah. DanaLash.com. It's so good to be with you guys this Monday. I was away too long. I missed you guys. I missed spilling tea. And we have a lot of new Odyssey affiliates to welcome, and we are so excited. I was talking to John over in Richmond, our affiliate. He's runs the mornings up there. I had a great conversation with him earlier today. So we're going to have a lot of fun. All right, let's get to it. Who's ready to hear? Who wants to hear Brian Stelter get ripped by callers from C-SPAN? Just like, we can't play the whole thing because it went on for quite some time. And I think the beauty is that they keep it on the face of the person as the callers are ripping you. That's really the beautiful thing about it. Let's just have a little taste. Okay, a little taste.
We want to know, and we want the feedback.
Yes, I'd like to ask Brian to...
That's not going to be good then.
...on national television, admit he and his network are a bunch of liars about Donald Trump. The inspector...
Can you tell me the lie?
Came out.
Can you tell me what lie?
The lie is that he cleared that protest out so he could be there. That was a lie. True. That you and your
that's
network told, and
that's not wrong.
That's all I gotta say to you. I can't stand.
All right, that's Gordon.
I love
morning.
It. Brian They're like, Stelter. All right, that's first off. Can you pause it for just a second? Whenever you hear somebody go, "Well, I want to talk to Brian." Whenever anybody says your name like that, it is not going to be a good time for you. It is not going to be a good time for you. I'm just saying. Okay, I got it, because this is so good. Oh, my gosh.
Networks have this Inspector General report about the clearing of Lafayette Square, Lafayette Park.
Yeah, right.
Mr. Stelter is the biggest minister of misinformation I have ever heard, and I'm a news junkie. This gentleman told the American people in his news organization, which he was pretty much had control over, for 4 years that there was Russia collusion. And actually, after all the... $35-40 million of government investigation, come to find out there was zero collusion.
Ooh, he is also not wrong. Gotta say, he's also not wrong, that guy. Ooh, boy. Yeah, he really, it was like watching a live, you know, that you could listen to AMA, Ask Me Anything on Reddit. That was, man, that was just very satisfying. See, I wanted to make you guys feel better, because it's been kind of crazy. Okay, so I got a million things to talk. We need another hour today. So two things. I need to talk about the Lord of the Rings things, and I got to talk about the Victoria's Secret thing. And my clock isn't working right now, so I'm going to just go drive over every hurdle to stop. So the first and foremost, I don't know if you guys, you probably didn't see. I did tweet about it. And I'm trying to find out where I have my link at. So there is, you know, the J.R.R. Tolkien. They have a Tolkien Society, right? And this is just ridiculous. So the Tolkien Society, they have a summer seminar. And someone had tweeted this, that it was, they warned everyone that it was, the summer seminar was pretty woke. Now, this is Tolkien. Like, I'm like, how are you going to get woke in this? Well, ask stupid questions, Dana. Win stupid prizes. So this is the agenda. I'm not making this up. It's literally on their website. For the 2021 Tolkien Society Seminar. Are you guys ready for this? It's a barrel of laughs. Are you ready? Okay. So, and it's like the first weekend in July. The first one, Gondor in Transition, a brief introduction to transgender realities in the Lord of the Rings. Excuse me? What? There's no transgender anything in Lord of the Rings. Why are you rewriting a fantasy world that was written by like a hardcore Catholic too, by the way? Why are you rewriting this? Oh, and then, but wait, there's more. You ready? Here is another another issue that they're, I guess, session that they're having. The burnt hand teaches most about fire, applying dramatic stress and ecological frameworks to narratives of displacement and resettlement across cultures in Tolkien's Middle Earth. What? Oh, but wait, there's more. This one may be one of my favorites. The Invisible Other, Tolkien's Dwarf Women and the Feminine Lack. How much of LOTR canon do you know if you're questioning about the feminine lack? First off, did you not understand what Gimli said when he's like, the women look like us? And also, they're mythical creatures. Can you leave something for the nerds? Please, can you just leave something? It's a fantasy world. Stop. Don't combine the fantasies. Like, you don't cross the streams. Oh, like here? The problematic perimeters of Elrond, half-elven. What? Yeah. Oh, man. Did you hear this one? A guy named Christopher Vaccaro was speaking on this. Pardoning Saruman? The queer in Tolkien's Lord of the Rings. What? Yeah. I needed to share that with you. I had to see it, so you did too. This is like a total bastardization of Tolkien. And also, why is this needed? Do we have to woke up everything? Who would go to this? This sounds, you're talking about made up stuff with a fantasy piece. Who would do this? Who would go to this? Well, I know some people actually probably would, but I, the devils are real and they're among us now, apparently. But you know what? They do not have anywhere in this. There is a missed opportunity for second breakfast. How are you sitting here saying that you're having a Tolkien seminar and you're not including any kind of time for second breakfast? Okay, the other thing that we got to talk about. All right, one of the things that you need to understand if you are a new affiliate family is that I'm very, very forthright about stuff, okay? I do it in a classy way. Maybe not 10 years ago, but now, you know. But the Victoria's Secret thing. Who shops at Victoria's Secret anymore? I don't know. I think when I turned 30, I didn't go there anymore. Because there's a lot of padding in their products that not everybody needs. And the underwear, I don't get why. Like, it's so, I don't know. Anyway, long story short, they decided to get rid of their angels. And they're bringing Megan Rapinoe and who else? Priyanka Chopra, which I don't care about that, but they're also bringing in transgender men to,
what?
Yeah, talk about angels and bras, I don't know, and underwear and that. Their revamp is described as completely cause-driven with a focus on inclusivity. Yes, because nothing says inclusivity like having men come and tell women about bras and underwear. And nothing says that you understand what it is to be a woman like diminishing them down to nothing but physical attributes, which is incredibly ironic and I thought was entirely against what Third Wave was about, but whatever, right? So this is after, I think that they're in damage control mode. Their chief marketing officer said that the public wasn't interested in seeing plus size or transgender. Can I also say that there's a difference between plus size and morbidly obese? And let's not conflate, okay? Like, there are just some people, honestly, I think there's some people who look better and more attractive not as skeletons. And there are some people who, I mean, everybody's different, but there's a huge difference between having curves and being plus sized and then being morbidly obese. And it's like there are people, celebrities who have been morbidly obese and they've been advertised as, oh, well, we just have curves. Stop it. Because people are saying this because they're concerned about your health, but also plus size does not mean morbidly obese either. Some people just have more. I don't know. So there's a huge difference here. But here's the other thing. This really does feel like it. Now, tell me if you think I'm wrong. This kind of feels like a war on like traditional beauty. I've never had a problem with the angels. I don't have a problem with any of this. I don't have a problem. Can't ladies have something that, and what Megan Rapinoe had said prior. Oh, I got to find my tweet. I may not find my tweet on this. She had said something about this prior where something about how it was, you know, like the patriarchy cannot define what women look like, etc. I don't know who ever allowed that. You know, women also themselves like to look sexy just by themselves. They want to look attractive. And it does not mean that they're doing it for a man. Some women, you know, if you're going to talk about the realities of female empowerment, then accept the reality that some females choose to define attractiveness and appeal in that traditional way. If you can sit here and have a dude say that he is a woman, then you by all means can have a woman say that she wants to, all by herself and not because of provocation of a man, wants to be sexy or appealing or beautiful in that way. It feels like an attack on that traditional beauty and on female appeal and all of that. And no one, I'm sorry, when people are looking at like lingerie and pajamas, no one's looking at, you know, people want to look, they're looking at the angels and the angels sell. If I'm thinking lingerie, I'm not thinking of Megan Rapinoe or a man who is identifying as a woman. I'm not thinking of that. I'm so done with this. And it is insulting, but I don't understand. They're advertising their whole diversity of lineup. So they bring on Priyanka Chopra, and which she seems more, I mean, she seems more of a fit than Megan Rapinoe. And they said that, oh, it's the fallen angels. Now they're trying to stay relevant. And I think that the relevancy issue, I don't necessarily, I guess standards of beauty change, but I also think that we're in a weird period where people want comfort more than they want, you know what I mean? Like, because you look at some of the stuff that they model and I'm like, there is no way that y'all ladies are going to be sitting in that for 8 hours a work day. Not happening. Or you're going to feel comfortable like with that as your foundational garment under your clothes. I don't know. I just have never had a problem with the angels, though. I've never had a problem with any of this stuff. But the idea that you, and I don't know who the transgender, I guess, advocates that they're bringing on. I don't know who they're bringing on, but that seems sexist to me. To have a man who is appropriating the female sex lecture other people about femaleness. That seems like a total patriarchal move if there's one to be had. Now, keep this in mind. I told you I'm going to run this right up. So you have the athlete, the transgender athlete is going to be competing in female weightlifting competitions. I had tweeted out a story that was about her name is Nini Manumawa. She was the woman who was ultimately displaced because of Laurel Hubbard, the man who's identifying as a woman. And Manumawa is 21. This would have been her first Olympics. Now she's not going to the Olympics because she was replaced by a male who only just a couple of years ago decided that he was going to compete as a woman. Now, you can have the conversation, oh, he's taking like hormone blockers or whatever. That does not change your muscle mass, your bone density, the fact that your hips are narrower, the fact that you have a larger heart, the fact that you have a lot of other physical advantages because you were born a male and you went through puberty as a male and you competed as a male and now you are competing as a female. And of course, he's winning in all of his competitions that he's been in. Of course, he's taken first in everything. Of course he has. So this woman has been displaced. Her place was stolen from her by appropriation. It is the erasure of women. 1,000%. Whether they're attacking women's traditional beauty, and I don't know anybody, if you're... I actually take offense when I hear fourth and third wave feminists go, oh, well, that's a patriarchal standard of beauty. Then you tell me what you think a feminine idea of beauty is. Because when you talk about that stuff, I don't, that's not what I define. And isn't that what the free choice that feminists fought for is? And isn't that how it's exemplified? And now you're wanting to erase other women's selections because they don't match yours. That's not empowering women. That's subjugating them. You're a tool for the patriarchy. Congratulations. Your entire purpose is ironic.
Dana gives you the meat and potatoes news of the day. None of that tofu news. More like bacon with a side of hash browns news. The news you want, the way you want it. The Dana Show.
Hash browns, so good. I love the internet again, guys. I love the internet again. Are you ready? So I told you earlier how Sheldon Whitehouse, the Democrat from Rhode Island, he is literally, apparently, a member of an all-white beach club, which I don't even know what. And he was defending it, saying, well, it's tradition. I'm like, what? And so apparently people have given out, they said, his Jim Crow country club number to inquire about Juneteenth festivities. And I love the internet again because this is hysterical. This is his, how is this, I'm sorry, how is this a whites only club in Rhode Island? First off, how does it exist anywhere still? And then how, what?
I literally thought there was, you couldn't discriminate based on race. Like, I literally thought that was a thing.
Yeah. I don't.
Damn, Democrats.
No. Well, I mean, they do have an affinity for this stuff.
Right.
I mean, you know, historically. So one of the things I'm going to deep dive with you guys in tomorrow is the situation with the they're calling up Missouri's controversial gun law, because they are a Second Amendment sanctuary state. And what they're saying is that they're going to nullify like any kind of like federal enforcement of federal gun laws. It's the Second Amendment Preservation Act. They actually have constitutional authority to do this because you can't, the federal government can't force the state to enact federal action. And that's what they're expecting. That's the basis of what their restrictions are. And so Mike Parson, the governor over there, when he signed this bill into effect, and the lawmakers, they're saying, no, this is how it is. You cannot expect the states to enact like this kind of federal, these sorts of federal restrictions. Anyway, I'm going to deep dive into this for you tomorrow so you understand it and its applications in other areas. All right, so today's stupidity.
Speaking of Senator Whitehouse, it's him.
Now, your family's been members. Your wife is one of the largest shareholders. Has there been any traction in that? Are there any minority members of the club now?
I think the people who are running the place are still working on that, and I'm sorry it hasn't happened yet.
My lord. What a nightmare. Yet somehow Democrats will find a way to cover it up and blame it on Republicans. Just trust me on that one.
Yeah, there you go. And folks, that does it. That does it for our program today. And tomorrow, we got a lot in store. Make sure you check out the Substack newsletter. Sign up. Subscribe at danalash.com. Have a great night, folks. I'll be back with you tomorrow.